You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. Visit us at mashthosebuttons.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to Double Tap. This is Mash Those Buttons podcast dedicated to the FGC. I am your host, of course, Crash, in the building. Full cup of coffee on this lovely Monday night, because my days just get started.
It's been so rainy the last couple of weeks. If you didn't get any sleep throughout all of that, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, no, bro. I can go to sleep in the rain. It's just so much damn rain. I got a yard to deal with, dog.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
I totally get it.
Yeah, but that's not what we're here to talk about. I mean, of course, I got Static G here in the building, of course. And we're here to talk about some fighting games. This is Double Tap, podcast dedicated to everything and anything to the fighting game community. If you haven't already, make sure to follow us at Double Tap FGC, of course, and follow us on YouTube, where we tend to put up a bunch of these and the full episode of the podcast and some highlights in there at Double Tap FGC. Go subscribe over there. Go check it out, because we've got plenty to talk about. You know, make it a little easier for y'all that ain't listening to the full podcast platform, you know, your favorite one. You can listen to it over there on YouTube. But man, we got some stuff to talk about. This is what episode is this? Actually, I gotta double check. 319? Yeah, 319.
Yeah, for those that can't see, my background is just going bananas. Two different colors, going red and crazy. Blue. Wonder what's going to happen. Boom, open up. No.
The police, the cap cops are here. Cops. Exactly. So this is recorded on the 1st of May, by the way. Yes, we are now in May. We are T-minus 1 month, 1 day away.
Yeah.
From Street Fighter VI's release. So I'm super stoked. Well, we've got other things to talk about, not just some Street Fighter VI, even though that is going to be a little bit of the meat and potatoes today.
Yeah.
But let's just jump right into it, man. Let's just get into it right here into our Fighter's Corner. Let's get into some Street Fighter VI off the rip, man, because we got plenty to talk about there. So, so there have been some waves, man. I mean, the demo's been out, right? The demo's been out. It's been out now for, I want to say, when did it go out? It was a little over a week now, right?
Well, the 26th was the Steam one.
Excuse me. The 26th was the Steam one, yes.
2 weeks already, maybe, for the other.
Yeah, something like that.
We did talk about it last show.
Yeah. So it's now out on Steam. Modders, I will tell you right now, Capcom, I plead the fifth. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not incriminating myself in any way, shape, or form. But I have heard that the modders have dug into that super fast. Into the, you know, the back ends of Street Fighter VI, the demo on PC. Yeah. Trying to see if we can unlock any of those other characters. I don't say we as in I'm a part of that. I'm just saying we in general as us players.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of legal talk this week. a lot of legal speak. Yes and no questions only, please.
Jargon.
a lot of that. But yeah, so they kind of went in, unpacked the game. There are some mods that you can apply to it, but there's no data there for unlocking the other players, the other characters, which I'm not surprised. I kind of talked about it in last week's episode. I don't think Capcom was just going to let that shit fly like that. Like they're clearly taking precautions because, you know, Street Fighter VI, man, it's a new title, a numerical title to the, you know, the greatest series that they've ever created, to a genre that it's created on its own. Right. And the first one, you know, in the next, this new generation, right? And kind of a pivotal time for video games, for fighting games, for competitive games. And they're like, they're not fucking around.
Yeah. I mean, why did it, I don't know. I just, how do I say this? Why even put it on Steam? The beta, the demo?
Because, like, you know what? Because they didn't want what happened to fucking Jedi Survivor happen to Street Fighter VI.
Please explain.
And we're talking a company that is multiple times bigger than Capcom. We're talking about EA, obviously.
Yeah.
And they couldn't come out. I mean, sure. Is Street Fighter VI like, you know, doing incredible photorealistic scans and techniques to make it look the way it does, like Jedi Survivor? No, still looks great though. Don't get me wrong, right, it looks amazing. I want to be very, very clear there. But you know, when this that's what happens when you don't kind of test that. You have to put it out there in the field. You don't know until you get that big piece of data to sample
is,
from.
Is online really bad?
No, it's just the game is terrible on PC. Like there are so many PCs, like high-end PCs are okay. It's like, but there's like incredible incompatibility with certain drivers and certain just complete like PC setups that people like your specifically PC just are not having a good time.
So they're having
they don't want that to happen. Yeah, they don't want that happening, right? You don't want to have a bad port. So they got to put it out there, man. They got to see if there is going to be an issue. Catch it now as fast as possible, right? I'm not saying it'll unfortunately be fixed in time. For a month, maybe, you know, you're a month out. There could be some tweaks done for like a day one patch.
Sure.
But yeah, of course, they had to put it out on all consoles. Especially like I said, now it's such a pivotal time for fighting games that, you know, we're getting, like I said, MSIs now involved in more tournaments, right? So yeah, you kind of want to make sure your games are playing fun, you know, good with them. That opens up doors, relationships. This, you know, it's a whole business aspect to it, as well as just supporting the amount of PC gamers that, you know, have increased over the past couple of years, right? Due to you know, one of the big things, obviously, since quarantine, right? Everybody was gaming. So so they had to. They really had to show it out. They had to put it out there so that way it could be out in the field and they could, you know, get all that data to be collected. But regardless, the demos, you know, everyone's trying to, you know, we talked about it last week, everyone's trying to defeat level 8 Ryu max advantages, like all that good stuff. Yeah,
out of 400 times, maybe
out of 400 times, but hey, yo when it if that was a dub, I don't care.
Yep.
If that was tournament stats, that means your last, if that was your last tournament placements and performance, then you did really good.
You're
only as good as your last tournament appearance, right?
Miss Opongo.
So we've had the demo, you know, people have just been playing it, and there have been some developments since. So actually 2 days after the demo went live, we had a tweet come out from Capcom Fighters, official Capcom Fighters Twitter. You can tell it's official because it's got a gold check mark. I'll tell you now.
Oh.
So they've actually finally gone ahead and acknowledged the closed beta test crack. You know, Momochi was kind of already making waves talking about it, and funny enough then to see Capcom then almost kind of pseudo replied afterwards is really interesting on the timing. But stating now, it's come to our attention some users have been accessing the closed beta software and playing the game outside of designated period. It's a violation of the CBT terms of service and can be seen as a violation of the Capcom Pro Tour code of conduct. For the avoidance of doubt, from this point forward, any player who was shown with, keywords here, clear evidence to be accessing the CBT in an unauthorized way may be determined ineligible for the upcoming Capcom Pro Tour and Street Fighter League seasons. That's with an S at the end.
That is very plural.
Sound very Z-like, but that's with an S. We appreciate your cooperation and understanding and helping maintain the fairness and competitive integrity of our competitions. So, a couple of things to take away from here, right? Some really interesting stuff, the way they wrote this. If you take it at the highest, you know, surface level, it's a warning. It's like, hey, we find out you're doing it, you get banned. But there's little intricacies in here. I don't know if you've noticed it when reading it, but one of the first big things I want to say is that first sentence in the third, I won't say paragraphs, just the third sentence. That's a whole damn sentence, isn't it? Yeah, that's a long ass sentence.
Yep.
For the avoidance of doubt, from this point, emphasis on this point forward.
Right.
Meaning anything before, which was tweeted out, what, 28th, right? 28th. From the 28th forward, any player who is shown with clear evidence to be accessing the CBT in an authorized way, blah, 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 blah. So what they're saying, from what I'm looking here, in clear black and what is looks like to be sky blue, they aren't counting allegations or, you know, maybe talks accidental about stream players,
push, you know,
stream pushes. Sorry,
there's exactly. This one that I seen that's blatant, and it's just like
there.
So we're just gonna show favor there. Cool. All right.
No, maybe even YouTube creators that are also maybe part of the Capcom creators, you know, camp, stuff like that, right? Like they're kind of looking at all the fields here. So saying from this point forward, mm-hmm. from the 28th of April till when the game comes out, that's when they're going to look at that. So you're going to look at your timestamps. People have already talked stuff about other players that we've even said, you know, in certain tournaments that already went down, that like clearly they have, you have the crack, he has the crack, he's been playing it, that's why he's so good, right? You know, they're ignoring all of that. They're not going to backlog and backpedal on all that until they deemed it that they were acknowledging it. So that's interesting. That saves a lot of face for a lot of players, known or otherwise, right?
Right.
And creators as well. So that's how you can now take that if you were to, like I said, take this as black and white. It's from the 20th moving forward. And then the clear evidence is I guess they need a smoking gun. Like we need the VOD, we need the timestamp, we need to know exactly when. Cause I mean, like I know the internet went nuts. Like I just fucking love the internet when everyone just starts putting their reactions, you know. The LeBron James gif pulls the ref, like starts pointing here, right? Ugh. Right here, here. Or the, you know, phone call guys, like I get mixed one time. Excuse me, Capcom. Mm-hmm. Right? Like I felt the same way. I was like, bro, if I'm in grand finals, I get mixed really bad and come to find out I knew this guy was playing the crack, I'd be right down the side. I like, yeah, good job, good game.
Man in the audience at free show. Wow, that combo was really good.
Shout out to Tega. We know Tega was playing rude like that. We know that was real. That was as real as it gets. It's just James Chen clearly didn't know who the rando was. But all up. But yeah, it was fucking hilarious. You know why? Because with that money is on the line, bro, $1 million first place.
Yeah. Shit.
Allegiances are going to go down. Do you think this will be? Do you think we'll actually see a situation like that in the future?
Of what? What type of situation? As in what?
Somebody trying to dime somebody else out. You think we'll see that? like at that level. Like say fucking top 32's decided for Pro Tour. You think we're gonna then get a Capcom Pro Tour branded tweet? It'll be like, upon an anonymous tip about so and so player, we have come to under the investigation to find out that this player did indeed play.
And then the subtweet is gonna be like the evidence.
Yeah, like do you think
and it's freaking attorney, what's this called? Phoenix Wright, just like
Phoenix Wright, yeah. Yo, do you think we actually might get something like that?
I don't know. I really don't know, but this is great. I wouldn't know. Like, how do you enforce that upon, like, that's really low. But I mean, these are the same people that would take the game.
It's if a million, friend but static.
Yeah, no.
It's $1 million.
These are the same people
that
will take the game if their friend paused it in front of them. You know, like remember Flux said, "Yo, if my mom paused the game, I'd still take it."
Damn, that's real. That's real. That's real.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well,
there you go. Yeah, you know what? Perfect. Shogun on Twitter. Shogun on Twitter. Definitely starting now. Exactly. Starting now, everybody. Shut the fuck Kramer, up.
Yeah.
Nobody say anything.
Yeah. So funny.
If you snitch, snitch, you know what happens to snitches. I'm not going to keep going, but you know.
But, you know, it's something that I did bring up last week that we brought it up, 6ix9ine. That's funny. I said, you know, if you're playing the whatever crack beta, you're still going to have to deal with what? 8, 9 other characters, 10 other characters.
Yeah, that's like, the other thing. Exactly. That's why I'm like, I'm not sweating it that hard, to be honest. Like, yes, like whoever the Ryu and Luke maids are gonna be, y'all gonna be insane when the game drops.
Especially
because
now.
That's all motherfuckers have been playing. Yeah, that's all motherfuckers have been playing. So that's gonna be fresh. And Luke and Ryu are going to just be the most common characters you're going to find. I mean, there was already a high chance that Luke and Ryu could be more Ryu. We're going to be like some of the more common characters they're going to see out there, especially early on because people are jumping in. Ryu's the Mr. Street Fighter, right?
Yep.
Luke is supposed to be the new Mr. Street Fighter. So maybe, you know, you can kind of, you know, dip your toes there. But now the fact that those two are the only ones in the demo, like those lobbies, that matchup is going to get learned so quick because those lobbies are going to be full.
Yeah. No, it's going to be something interesting. If I'm having trouble like now with these with the computers, I'm doing the you know CPU 8 and all that stuff. Like this game's hard.
Yeah, yeah. Basically. So like,
I'm speechless as to what to expect. It's gonna be very funny. Like week one, or even as CEO, everybody's gonna be getting side eye. Like if you're not picking Luke. Or were you? You're definitely going to be getting side eye.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it was interesting that the Cap cops were out here full force to tell us. But now we know, right? Now we know. Check yourself starting now.
Somebody said safe jump, like immediately.
Yeah. Exactly. I see a mix. I'm going to CEO. CEO's going to have the most call out. Yo, Jabali, I hope your TOs are ready. Hope your TOs are ready for the snitching. If Jabali was smart, he set up like an anonymous hotline, like right there to run to the phone to call on somebody.
Or a cap button, like a button at the table.
Just yo, beep, 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 beep. Maybe we should show up there with a phone, right? And be like, just roll up on people and be like, have you found anybody? And just make confessions, be like, yo, no names, but right. Then just say what happened. Oh, I think I got an idea.
The quiet box room that's like the sort of like interview room for like Survivor.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Big Brother. Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. So yeah, so Capcom's made their stance, but the other thing that they didn't make was this segue to this ad break that we got to go to real quick. So we'll be right back after this. Some more Street Fighter news here on Double Tap.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
All right, we're back. We post bail. We out. We got some fresh air.
It said seasons, man.
It said seasons. It said
multiple.
It said seasons. Yeah. I got out on parole, bro. I got out on good frame advantage, good baby. Frame advantage.
Good blocking.
Exactly. So yeah, my attorney parried the shit out that case. Yeah. So, that's not going to be the only thing we're going to be talking about Street Fighter-wise. Something really interesting came out earlier from an article from the president CEO of Capcom talking about like the future about future titles and crossplay. But they did also go into talking about this came from Famitsu. It also did talk about their expectations on how Street Fighter VI is going to do, which is really really cool. You rarely hear. About like the most you hear is like how much the game was spent on, kind of like movies, right? Like they spent this amount of money to create this product. They need to sell X amount in order to, you know, break even and need to sell X amount to be a success, right? So
yes.
Talking in the interview, Street Fighter, they have some really interesting tidbits. Like Street Fighter V has sold over 7 million copies and we applied the digital rule of thumb here. So that's including Steam sales and such, not just, you know, and digital stores and all, not just hard copy, right? Not like how it used to be. And they should be able to aim for 10 million copies for the next title in life. So we will also focus on esports, which was not enough for 5, and expand the genre base. But that was a nice little interesting tidbit there. But 10 million.
Wow.
10 million copies in lifetime. So once again, 7 million copies for Street Fighter V. Street Fighter V was what? 2015?
2016? 15, yeah. 15.
I
would say 15, yeah. 14 was the last one for 4. Street Fighter, last EVO for Street Fighter 4,
yeah. Yeah, so 2015 till 2020. I want to say if they're going to go off of their fiscal years, I want to say 2022. So 7 years. So 7 years, 7 million copies. Million a year, it's not bad. 10 million copies,
I think it's 2016
for Street Fighter 6. It's 2016, okay, so it's for 6, so a little over
February 16, 2016.
So 10 million copies for Street Fighter 6. You know, we're talking all platforms, Steam, Xbox, PlayStation, God forbid, Switch. We don't know what they're gonna do there. Maybe any possible new generations. We don't know. I don't think is that bad. I don't think it's unachievable. Once again, fighting games are a much smaller genre compared to, you know, your typical, I don't say AAA game, because I mean it is a AAA game in terms of fighting games and all, but it's not like, you know what, it's so weird. It's kind of hard for me to say that because of the amount of content that's in it. It's a lot. Like,
yes.
But it's not cutting edge, you know, tech, right? It's not like a Death Stranding, Jedi Survivor, like crazy tech, or like Resident Evil even, right? Like Resident Evil, especially things like Resident Evil 7, when that became a thing, right? They banked a lot on building the RE engine,
yep.
You know, streamlining their workflows to make super photorealistic things, and just the way they did the entire management on how they create games there. It's actually, if you haven't already, go check out this documentary on Resident Evil 7's making. Oh. Very interesting stuff.
Kitchen, right?
So the reason, what's up?
It was called Kitchen at first, right?
Yeah, it was called Kitchen at first. That was like the VR experience that they pitched at the time. But yeah, the reason I bring it up is because, you know, Street Fighter VI runs on RE Engine. The RE Engine has definitely paid in itself in full, especially looking at, you know, Resident Evil 4, right? 4 million copies in the first 3 days, or 3 million copies in 4 days. I forget how much. It already, you know, it was already knocking on the top 20 or the top 10 most sold copies for a game for Capcom. I think as of right now, if I look at the actual numbers, most sold games for Capcom, I've looked at it before, but trying to, and Monster Hunter, I know is like top one and two, like Monster Hunter World, and I forget what the other Monster Hunter was, but those two are definitely they're in the top two. Yeah, Monster Hunter World is at the top at 18.6 million, right? While as Monster Hunter Rise is at 11.7 million.
Wow.
Okay, that just reset it. Thank you. And then Resident Evil 7, 11.7 million, right? That is a top three, right? RE Engine comes out, revamp. And granted, Monster Hunter World is runs on RE Engine as well, right? Like, I keep harping back on it, but it's a pivotal thing. I mean, Resident Evil 2, 2019, is fourth, right? Like, Street Fighter, 7 million copies, ninth place. So it cracks the top 10. It just beats out Devil May Cry, and I believe Street Fighter 2 is... Yeah, I would say 2 did more than 4, I believe. So 2 is at 6.3 million since 1992, right? But that's, you know, kind of long in the tooth there. So right now, Street Fighter 5 is the only one that has cracked the top 10 in terms of fighting games for Capcom in its lifetime at 7 mil. So to make it at 10, we're now competing with Monster Hunter World Iceborne and kind of like on the precipice of Resident Evil 2 Remake. And Resident Evil 2 Remake was a whole other buildup, right? From 93 or 94, something like that.
Part 2?
Yeah, the original. Oh, 98, sorry. 98.
Yeah, no.
That was way too early. Yeah, my bad. I forgot, it's PlayStation, yeah.
Yeah.
98. Like, you know, and that was... 21 years? Am I thinking that right? 1 to 2 years. Yeah, 21 years of waiting for Remake to come out to do those numbers.
Yeah.
Right? Like 21 years on that. So for them to come out and be like, yo, 10 million copies is what we're looking at lifetime. I mean, 10 million over, let's give it the same amount of time that Street Fighter V got, right? It was what, 6 years, 2016 to 2022, yep. I want to say. Yep. 6 years, six and a half. We're talking 1.125 or something million a year is what they need to be selling worldwide, whatever the platform. That's a lot of units. That's a lot of tokens, my friend. I
stopped being a math major a long time ago.
Yeah. What are you talking about? You play fighting games. Half the time, all you do is fucking math. Not plus, Marvel. Minus. Yeah, Marvel, no. Marvel, it's just like, you know.
That button has what did lag. I hit?
What did I hit them with? Like, yeah. Was that a heavy? Okay, cool. The scaling's not bad. Like, I'm in there.
Marvel players don't do math.
Yeah,
that's why somebody. That's why Morgan always survives with a pixel health. We don't. Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, so 10 million copies is pretty wild. I think they could do it. It's just, you know, and like I said, Street Fighter VI already has a good foundation, right? Like the single player, man, they are banking that hard
last,
on it.
That last trailer really solidified what they can do with just a game, releasing a game, not just for competitive sides either. Like, yeah. People will stick around for this game for a while.
And it's, you know, the game is now also going to do more things that it hasn't done, right? They're going to focus more on the esports side of things, right? They're going to focus it more clearly. They already have with the money that they're putting in, right? That's going to make more eyes come to it.
But that's not
the single player, like you said.
Yeah, that's not their only focus this time. Last time it was just like competitive aspect. Do we have a story mode yet? No. Oh, God, we got to work on it. Do we have
we got a part two coming.
Yeah, right. No, didn't happen. Yeah,
never happened. Fang?
No. It's weird. It's a very weird game.
But because you know why? Because it was in the crossroads of the handoff, right? Ono getting leaving, and now the new blood coming in to kind of start taking things up, as well as Street Fighter VI's development while Street Fighter V was happening, right? That was also coinciding. It's not like Street Fighter V ended and then they started developing VI. Like remember, VI was already in the works. I assume VI was in the works ever since, quarantine, when we decided to get Luke and 11 and such, right? That was not, I don't think it was, to this day, I have my suspicions that we were never supposed to get that character in 5.
Yeah, the last
we were supposed to end with 11.
And Gil and Seth were supposed to be the last two, obviously. And just the way, even its development at the start, like it was supposed to be Sony exclusive, or it was. And then that sort of messed up where they had to restart the game, apparently, where Chun-Li had 2 fireballs and they were like, nope, do it over. And they kept the stage and decided to just revamp everything. And, you know, we got a completely different game. So there's that.
Yeah. So I would love to just have a sit down with somebody from Capcom talking about this. Just be like, yo. What the fuck happened? Like, just talk to us. What happened? As much as you can without busting an NDA or whatever. What in the hell happened? Are we right? You know, is this correct?
I want to also...
time will tell.
I want to also say that Marvel 3 had the same sort of instance where the first build of the game had even different voiceovers. What's his name? Deadpool was saying something like Pineapple Surprise? Or was it just Pineapples?
No, he still says it. He still says
Pineapple Surprise. Now he says Pineapple Surprise. And before he was like Pineapples, and it was almost a different game, different feel, and everybody had like an air dash, and then they implemented the air dashes in the mods. I don't know if you've seen the 1v1 mod that like TNS has been running, that everybody's giving air dash.
I mean, that was coming from like Heroes and Heralds and shit, right?
Right.
Like, that's where a lot of that came from. That's where a lot of that was programmed.
Yeah.
So like seeing things like Virgil having an air dash, it was
outside
of how do you get that animation? How do you get the animation for that? It's like, oh, because it existed in Heroes and Heralds and they just rerouted it.
Yeah. He's also in Devil Trigger.
Yeah, but this one you actually see like the magic behind him, the same as Dante when he like double jumps and stuff. Like it's always been in Devil May Cry. Yeah, that's how you could tell it's different. But regardless,
anyway,
that's
tangent.
Really gonna be it. All right, there's one small thing and then we'll close up here on Street Fighter. The Capcom Germany, I'm trying to think as to where this is coming from. I think supposedly, because I don't know, the demo isn't, I don't think the demo is like restricted there, but Capcom Germany did post up something is coming on Twitter. This was recent. This was yesterday. So the demo had already been out. So unless the demo is not there, which I'm not 100% sure, we might be seeing potentially another, I don't want to say beta, but something, you know, it's such a weird announcement.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but hey, maybe a Rashid trailer, that'd be cool, right?
Rashid trailer, expected to
come out
that.
In the summer.
That is actually very, very true. That is very, very true. I did not even think about a Rashid trailer. That would actually be a pretty good look.
But again, we still haven't seen much gameplay of E Honda, much gameplay of, many new characters. We've gotten the JP trailer with gameplay with the Blanca, but it just wasn't, I don't think, enough. It wasn't as much as what we saw with like the latest like Cammy and Manon type of clips. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that out. But we'll just have to wait and see and find out. We do have any news coming through for Street Fighter VI alongside the potential, like you said, pre-launch, maybe a trailer or something like that would be pretty dope. So let's move on. Let's get some minor notes here. So I don't know if you noticed, but the KOF 15 crossplay beta came out.
I think it was
Like slipped my mind.
Thursday night, Friday night it started. I haven't caught into it just because again I was away and I just never got to go into it. So
So I was talking to a homie, Shakugan, known KOF player. Shout out to homie. I think he did very well in Slam recently, in both Tekken and KOF. You'll probably see him a lot at the Coach Steve streams. He tends to commentate there for a lot of coaches' tournaments. I got to talk to him, and he was telling me like the beta came out, and it's like good for Xbox, and I think it's like Xbox and PC. He says like PlayStation was having issues, or I believe. So PlayStation crossplay was like having problems. Japan and Asia is just like having a good time with it, but he says NA is like having issues with it right now. So it wasn't really the best launch. There's supposed to be maybe a hot fix coming through, but you know, hopefully they get that sorted out, because they need that. They need those adjustments that they're making, man, because they're trying to crossplay with everything. If you remember that announcement, it was just like Steam, you know, Xbox, Microsoft Store, PlayStation, and I felt like there was like another one. I think it might have been like another launcher, like all playing together in perfect harmony. This beta right now is not showing up too much, though.
Yeah, the main issue is that they're, you know, they're having matchmaking issues already, like beforehand.
Yeah,
like fix one thing, not try to implement something else, or just maybe that's what people are bringing up. Yeah.
Potentially. But if it's anything like, you know, Strive, where everything's just imploding on itself, you know, at least you can at least get a match. At least.
Yeah.
And I put that with the hardest of asterisks, though. So speaking of Strive, this was kind of a, this kind of crossed my mind, or rather it came across my mind when I was thinking about it. But we should be expecting, there's been no actual announcement, but we should be expecting a new character this month.
Yeah. They did tease that, right? I mean, they teased it at the end of the Arc World Tour, was it?
Well, no. We got Bedman, who we've known for a while now. And remember, Bedman was initially supposed to be in March. Okay. Got pushed to April.
Yeah.
But right? We were supposed to have that gap in between.
We got that book trailer.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, we did get that book trailer. We did get the Asuka, aka that man. We don't know if that's going to be the character, though. But regardless, May, we are supposed to get another character and additional stage here.
Mm-hmm.
But is that... Wait, hold on. Sorry, let me run that back again.
Yes.
Is it four or five in season two? Characters?
We can check.
Double check for me. Because, I mean, if it's four, then we know it's supposed to... Is it? Like because they announced season three, four that is happening, right? Season three DLC is a thing, which I'm like, all right, cool, more characters, awesome. The colors are whatever. They've talked about the colors ever since the last patch with Bedman, and Asuka's been the only one that they've kind of alluded to as to coming out. But I don't think that means Asuka would come out this patch, or this season pass, though. Asuka should, because, you know, we want new characters, right? We technically got a new character in Bedman, but kind of. It's a legacy character, but plays very, very different from the original. We've gotten two other legacy characters. So right now if you want to take it verbatim, we have no new characters this patch yet. They have all been legacy characters. So Asuka would be the first one to kind of break that mold for the DLC on this pack. So yeah, I'm wondering if it is going to be Asuka or if it's going to be somebody else. They're going to just throw it through a loop. But we should be, if they don't make any kind of formal announcement, we should be getting someone this month. So
yeah, and
no, like I know that we got that pushback, but like that doesn't mean that the whole schedule has been shifted, though.
I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be just one more character we expect for this season.
Okay.
At least that's what the I keep forgetting the word, of what they use, like the I don't want to say upcoming, or oh gosh, I can't believe
the roadmap.
Thank you. Yes, the roadmap.
It is four. Yeah, apologies. Okay. It is four characters. Yeah, I pulled it up. The graphic I was looking for was like kind of like this one right here. It's a little dated because it was before we knew. Obviously, that Bedman was number three. But yeah, so we should be getting one in May. So we should be getting a new character to round off season two, which also makes sense. This new character gets announced. We got Evo. Evo, they can make the announcement for the next character if they want to show up there, or, you know, CEO Taku or something. Gives us the next kind of season of fighting game circuit the following year.
I think Combo Breaker still gives them the chance for May. They only delayed Batman for a month?
About a month. Yeah. But it's supposed to come, unless you're trying to say they're going to be like, here's the character, and then like be like, out now, and blow everybody's brains. Okay.
Sure.
I'm down for that. I don't like to wait.
If they're trying to get the character right, sure. But I mean, Sin came out already Thanksgiving. Like, that's such a long time ago.
Thanksgiving now to April. I was thinking about that. That's the reason why this came across my mind, because I was thinking about, I was like, yo, what the fuck is going on with Guilty Gear besides it, you know, exploding on itself network wise? Yeah. Like, what's up with the DLC? I was like, we should be getting something, right? Like, yes, we just got Batman, but I'm like, that was a drought. And I was like, Batman got delayed. Sporadic. So I'm like, shouldn't there be somebody else coming up? And then I looked at it. I was like, oh shit. Yeah, we need to be getting somebody this May. So I'm trying to think how they're going to announce. I mean, you're saying, I mean, yeah, Combo Breaker is like the biggest event you could do it at this month.
I mean,
it'll be at the end of the month.
You have to do something because the Juggernaut is coming next month.
That is also very true. You are so, so right. Like, you time need to ticking. Come out. Your character needs to be fire. So if it's Asuka, it needs to be fire.
And
you need to fix this network shit.
You need to fix the network. You need to tease the next character already after Asuka.
That's the threefold. Those are the three to-dos.
The trifecta.
Asuka, Asuka announcement and release. Network needs to be fixed, and you need to tell us what the fuck is coming up next. Like, those are the three things Arxis needs to do before Street Fighter VI comes in and makes a lot of people forget about Strive.
Right. You want to make sure that people are watching. I mean, people are going to watch the game second at EVO, because obviously this is not, no game is going to reach Street Fighter VI's amount of players. By the way, we didn't get an update on the numbers, what they look like for Sunday. You know, like
For Combo or EVO?
EVO. We didn't get the numbers yet. It's a new month, that's why I say. Month we got it at April 9th. But what I'm starting to say is that you're going to want your game to have the second best, I guess, announcement. Yeah, you want to win EVO at this point. Because Street Fighter, they've already showed their four characters expected. Like, what announcement are they even going to have at EVO? Are they just going to have
gameplay.
Right, a trailer for Rashid and or Nails Girl?
Well, no. Rashid's coming out before EVO.
Right, he's coming out summer.
We should be getting Rashid before EVO.
Yeah.
And then, well, no, Rashid, I think they said June or July. Like, I think they said July. Like, there's an actual month for Rashid, because I was like, that's before EVO. So that means Rashid will be viable for EVO, more than likely. But then Aki, they should be showing off Aki. And it makes sense. New character. Like, they should show off. If not just Aki, then maybe everyone else too. Like, Aki and maybe Ed, they'll show them both. And then they'll save Akuma for later. But yeah, like, that's right now, Arxis is definitely on the clock. Those are the three things that they need to round up before six just pulls out the table and comes to the table and pulls something out, just lays it out there and just be like,
before you know it,
how much you want that $1 million?
You know, before you know it, Tekken's going to be in there real quick. Before you know it, Dragon Ball. I mean, Bandai Namco themselves, they're all in the cahoots. Arxis and Bandai Namco. But before Mortal Kombat, by the way, that's what we're going to get into next. Like, Mortal Kombat, they set the stage right now. If they don't have an announcement for Combo Breaker, well, I mean, they're based out of Chicago, then you're going to expect the biggest announcement at EVO.
Yep.
So
it would make sense for that gear. Combo, though. But
get it together.
Facts. All right. So actually, let's get into it with MK. MK, man, the drought has been fucking real, like sand in an hourglass.
Yeah.
We just can't get shit. But regardless, you know, even through the leaks, right? The highly anticipated Mortal Kombat 12 during the investors meeting, right? The public call. That was still never acknowledged. Boone just constantly trolling, and just people are just waiting on the wing, right? Like, when are we going to get something? We got something. Oh, shit. I thought I had the tweet ready.
Yeah.
Let me Let me pull it up again.
It's everywhere.
We got something.
It's on Facebook, YouTube, all of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing that we got isn't much, but it came in order of something that's actually still incredible. Like I don't want to kind of undermine it, but you know, celebrating 30 years of Mortal Kombat is insane. Like I remember Mortal Monday.
Okay.
The original Mortal Monday when they actually released it. I remember that shit. My older brother remembers that shit because we were, you know, especially in the arcades and such, it was insane. So, you know, Mortal Kombat originally came out, the very first one, you see. Mortal Kombat 1 release was
1992.
Yeah, it was 1992. I just want the exact date. October 8th, 1992.
In time for Halloween.
Mortal Monday.
I had original game for Sega Genesis. I also
inferior one.
Incorrect. I also it is what contributed to my fear at the time of skeletons and of yellow glowy eyes in the backgrounds, you know.
Goro's lair.
Yeah, Goro's lair, or even just Goro himself, like it or even my fear of the game over screen in both games, in Resident Evil, Mortal Kombat 1 and 2, you know? So, kudos to them. However, man, there was a period where they fell off. And for them to keep sticking around as much as they did, with Acclaim and all of those guys not supporting them.
Midway Acclaim,
WB really picked up. When help with help
WB and becoming NetherRealm, like it is nothing short than an incredible story for such an impactful fucking pop culture icon that is Mortal Kombat. Like it's like it is just so much bigger, like, right, you know, the impact, we can say it over and over, there's so many documentaries, we're not gonna go over everything here, but you know, creation of the ESRB, right, it's so, you know, the actions of the game made the ESRB a thing nowadays, regulation on the games, you know, the history behind the actually, you know, the lore about it being originally a game for Jean-Claude Van Damme, right? For those that are not young enough to know who that is, right? An actor and a martial arts actor at the time.
If you are listening to this show, you know who Ryo Guile is, okay?
Maybe. It's not, it might not even, you know, what's funky? There might be some cats that just don't, but you know, the story of MK is just incredible. And for it to celebrate 30 years, like I said, is just an incredible achievement that there aren't even that many video games that can really do that, that are still going strong today. There are some that are that old, but that doesn't mean they're active now, right? While as MK is still as prevalent as it is today, right? Movie, animated series, multiple animated movies as well to boot. The sequel to Mortal Kombat, the recent Mortal Kombat movie is a thing. It's in production. Get over here, Sub-Zero, Scorpion, like everything about it is just so iconic. So 30 years of it going strong is just incredible.
I went to a retreat and I heard a pastor use Mortal Kombat as a reference. Yeah. So, you know, it's everywhere. Trust me. I know.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying.
I hope he was something. I hope the brother was something like, the devil will take your soul like Shang Tsung.
That's
like
literally
he went in on that. Something like that. God, that's hilarious. And then his eyes started growing green. Then his eyes started growing green and you were like, I think I went to the wrong camp.
Right. It was in more detail, but it's fine. No worries. Talk about another day.
Jeez. All right, whatever. But all right, so past all this, past the great, you know, the great talks about it being 30 years and all the appreciation and gratitude, we get single grain of hope.
Before that, can I just gush about Ed Boon's lair, like Goro's lair? The arcade of Mortal Kombat 4, that's nostalgic to me. Now, granted, Mortal Kombat 1 being at Pizza Hut was nostalgic for me. Yes, I get it. And he has the other game with the arena game sitting there too. But Mortal Kombat 4 is super nostalgic for me. This friggin' Spaghetti Warehouse, if anybody knows of that place. Here in Philly, it's now called Union Transfer or whatever it is. All of that, I would love to just be in that room. Friggin'.
Yeah, by the way, it's called The Grid.
The Grid, forgot. Thank you.
Yes.
Anyway, go on. You were saying about some grain of salt? Grain of sand?
Yeah, so grain of sand. So at the end, I get Ed Boon, obviously co-creative, one of the co-creators of Mortal Kombat, to actually stay like, hey, we're not done yet, right? Like, thank you for everything, but we're not done yet. And then we get a little inside a hourglass as sand drops, and then the very last grain comes in that looks like popcorn or whatever, and then it just explodes, and that's it. That's all we got. But it was enough for us to quench our thirst. Like, holy shit, we finally got something that we already know was happening, but they've actually, you know, shown just like, it's next to nothing. All right, let's just be very clear. It's something, but it's practically nothing else. So yes, hourglass, a grain of sand exploding. You know, when we last left Liu Kang and MK11, spoilers, especially post all the DLC and everything, him becoming the god, the new god of fire and thunder, recreating the universe, and ends up with his ancestor Kung Lao at the end. It's like, oh, I'm gonna train you, and then like that's it. Like, we're gonna probably get into what I'm suspecting is more multiverse craziness. They're kind of going the comic book route, right, with Marvel. Like, we're gonna just be a multiverse of madness deal, because we saw that even in the finales of the DLC of the original story in MK11 with Raiden and Liu Kang fighting each other, and you see all the different versions of them throughout time doing it.
So cool.
It's gonna be insane. More of a reason for them to bring everybody.
Give me
Armageddon levels of roster.
No,
I want it to be so unbalanced that like we're just gonna live. I want everyone.
No. Can you imagine Batman shows up?
Oh my god.
Wait a minute. Oh my god. I just had a theory. I know Kevin Conroy has passed. Rest in peace. But can they AI his voice?
There are some actors that have agreed to it. There's some actors that you have no choice to, like James Earl Jones for Darth Vader has publicly stated that he's licensed out his voice now, that like, you know, whenever he does pass, like you can use his voice and likeness in perpetuity afterwards to create
for Darth Vader
the series for Darth Vader. Yeah. Okay. Like, I don't know if Kevin Conroy is in that same boat, but I know James Earl Jones has stated that. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. We're not going to go into the rabbit hole with AIs and all that, but we don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? There have been a lot of Batman voices since Kevin Conroy. I know Kevin Conroy, I can't even call him Kevin Conroy. That's just Batman. Ever since that Batman has passed, there have always been other Batmen. Yeah. Doing that same job that I've done some solid jobs, may not be the same, but.
And I ask as a tangent, because we've had Raiden in Injustice 2. We have had, was it Injustice 2 or Injustice
1? Sub-Zero as well.
Injustice 2 and Scorpion in Injustice 1. You know, just ideas throwing out their guest characters. As you said, we can finally get, I almost said Hanzo, but it's not Hanzo. It's not Genji. Those are Overwatch characters. This is the blind guy with the sword. We can finally get him back.
Kenshi?
Thank you. Happened to his son and even Kung Jin, is it? Yeah.
Kung Jin, yeah.
We didn't get him in the last game. Like, it was mind-boggling what they did with the favorites from MKX. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. That's why I said I want everything.
Yeah. Do you think it'll make any drastic character changes or...
I think they need to. I mean, MKX was like the first one in terms of, I don't want to say first, but it was one that I think impacted when it came to like the big IPs where they're trying to pass on the torch.
Yeah.
Right? Like trying to create characters that are passing on the torch from those original OGs that everyone knows and loves. Right. And I think they did a great job. So I don't see any reason why they couldn't keep going. Like, sure, still have the original characters in there, but I think it, you know, it's time for them to kind of push that narrative more towards the next gen even more would be great.
Before we hit y'all with this this sweet segue of an ad break, I want to just say I hope they don't go too different, because then the casual scene will say, what happened to the characters? Because they won't know, hey, I didn't finish story mode. I didn't know there was a story like this. I didn't know Raiden's now human, or I didn't know this, that, the other. That's a really big risk whenever you're rebooting a franchise. So
but the way they saved their butts is, like I said, was that multiverse stuff, because now we're talking, whenever you include like time travel or multidimensional stuff, you now open the gates to, no pun intended, the X factor of like, you can make anything happen now.
Yeah.
Like anything. You can bring back anyone that has died. You can kill anyone and then reverse that, right? It's the superhero thing. It's like once they killed Superman in comics and brought him back, the stakes were never the same since. Like look up, I know I'm talking documentaries, but look that up, right? The, you know, the death of Superman with Doomsday, the first time that ever happened. And then when they backpedaled and brought him back, like how big of a blow that was, or not a blow, a big change, a big paradigm shift it was for comics. MK has done the same. They can do that at this point. They've already technically did, right? With Armageddon and MK9, they went like, oh, I'm going back in time and changing the formula of things, right? And now they wrote themselves to whatever they can at this point.
It's gonna be
really interesting to see. I just can't wait. I need a trailer. Give me the dubstep. I don't care. Whatever. Give me or some hotness, man. I still love the one they did with the old school trailer. Still one of my favorite trailers they ever did with MK11. You know, you better wreck yourself, better check that Ice Cube joint was fire. And then they brought in some of the new stuff at the end. It was still like ridiculous. Still one of my favorite ones. But yeah, in the meantime, though, we're going to hit you with your favorite ad break right now before we wrap things up with the randoms of the FGC. We'll be right back after this, guys. Stay tuned. All right. And we are back. Just closed up on the 30 years of MK talk. MK12, hopefully announcement soon. But let's just get into some of the randoms of the FGC here. Close out this show for you guys tonight. Nothing too crazy. It's going to be one interesting one, but the other one that I just have to put out there. If you didn't already, this was not planned, obviously, in any way, shape, or form. It just happened at the time. But we were having discussions around, you know, ever since like Lil Wayne getting announced for Street Fighter VI. But not for Street Fighter VI, but, you know, for showcasing the showcase, right? For hosting the showcase. And some motherfuckers is like, oh, like, that's not, you know, a specific idiot that I'm not going to still say their name. Was like, oh, what is this hip hop stuff and fighting games? I'm like, bro, fighting games have always been hip hop.
Yep.
Has always been hip hop. Street Fighter VI is just now definitely even more hip hop than it was before. But yeah, this recently came out. This was posted up. I think it was who actually posted it? Alex Myers. Okay, yeah, it was Alex Myers, you know, posted up from JPEG Mafia ex Danny Brown going on and doing a tour. You know, their hit, you know, Scaring the Hoes. If you haven't checked that, it's actually a pretty dope track. And like, I mean, how dope is it that their flyer is on some CVS one? This isn't even CVS two, This isn't CVS two. This is CVS one, I believe. CVS one style ass fucking. Actually, hold up. No, is this
CVS one? Yes, it's CVS one.
Yeah, it is. I'm just looking at the character select down there. I'm like, is that everybody? Nope, it's not. Because we're like missing cats like Vega and shit. Oh, no, Vega is there. Wait, is this CVS
one? It is CVS one. Yes, it is. Trust me.
Okay. All right. I trust.
Actually, damn it. How dare you?
you son of a bitch.
Well, I don't see Maki and I don't see Hibiki. So, yeah, it is a CVS one. Yeah, with the star.
Yeah, you're right. There is no Hibiki and shit in there. Right. All right, cool. So with a CVS one style fucking flyer and, you know, JPEG Mafia is fucking Ryu and you got Danny Brown as Kyo, like, son, I don't know what more you need me to fucking tell you. Like, this shit's engraved in it. It's engraved in the culture. Like, it is what it is. But yeah, I wanted to put out there because it just happened to come out at the same time. So kind of bummed. They're not coming out to, oh, no, they are coming out.
Yes, they are. Franklin Music Hall.
Franklin Music Hall. Oh, let's go. I might actually go and peep that out. I'm going to be like, yo, play me 1v1 right now. You trying to play some CVS one, dog? Like, we'll see what goes down.
I like the OST is pretty good for CVS one.
Oh, yeah. There's some good stuff. CVS two still takes the cake there.
See, that's what everybody's going to say.
Because it does. Yeah. So besides Scaring the Hoes here, we've got this clip came across. I came across this clip. Because I think it was just earlier today. Yeah, so XQC, I'm sure you know him. Twitch extraordinaire, the reason why.
I like the poster.
The $50 million that were invested into Overwatch League is what created this guy's career. That they basically invested $50 million to create XQC's streaming career. That's not what I said. That's what our homie DJ Wheat says, and I completely agree with him.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's the best thing that came out of Overwatch League. Sorry, bro.
Was he an Overwatch League player? Is that where...
Yeah, you not know that? He was from Team Canada. He was a fucking Winston main.
Oh. well,
for the World Cup, and I forget what team he played on, but he was in the World Cup like several times. Yeah, he was he was a Winston man. But yeah, so he did a tier maker list, right? Our favorite thing to do. Two things. One, see how many fucking tabs this guy has open.
My God. That
they're all TikTok. It's crazy.
Oh.
So he did a highest skill cap slash most competitive esports tier list. And you know, we're talking your Rocket Leagues, your fucking StarCrafts, chess, Rainbow Six, Gears of War. There's a whole bunch of them, including some fighting games, right? So we have S to F tier, and he kind of just went in. So he started off with S, and he instantly went with I think it was StarCraft 2 and an original StarCraft, which I wholeheartedly Dota and both the StarCrafts, which I wholeheartedly agree with. If you are a competitor in that, you're a fucking psycho, but you're sick because like they're cut from the same cloth. Especially the StarCraft guys. I've done a lot of events with StarCraft guys, and they are no different from fighting. Like they are pretty edged with fighting games because it's a 1v1 game, right? Like so, a lot of similarities are there. It's just the amount that you need to do there I think the APM is insane. Against fighting games, like higher for sure, and there's just so much more you have to like juggle.
Pylons,
it's wild, but they're cut. They're definitely pylons and shit. But they're cut from the same cloth for sure. But the reason I bring it up is because we did have Street Fighter and Tekken. Those are the only two fighting games posted up in there, which I mean makes sense. It's like kind of the two most recognizable, right?
Yeah.
So in S tier, we got the StarCraft, we got the Dota and such, Dota 2 and all. Then he ran right into I believe it was Tekken and Street Fighter next. He did fighting games afterwards, and he was just like A tier, like instantly. Because even the chat was starting to go like, yo, Tekken. Like they were like, Tekken for A, Street Fighter A. And he was like, yes. Tekken. And he asked the chat, he's like, yo, Tekken and Street Fighter A, sound good? Sound good? And everyone's like, yep. That's about right. That's about right. Right up there with League in A. Which I was like, okay.
Respect.
Okay. Okay, respect. I only just want to put that part of the clip up. He goes on to do the rest. If you want to go check that out, check it out. Spoilers, all sports games in F.
Is he on Windows 11? Oh, no. No, I'm kidding.
Yes. So,
excuse me. Wow. Yeah. I'm serious. Like, real recognizes real. He was a Hearthstone player, I believe, as well, right? But where did he put Hearthstone? I would like to see that.
I don't think he played Hearthstone, bro.
No?
XQC? No. No, but he put Hearthstone, I think, at C.
Okay.
He put it around C.
Yeah, the game has become something different. And this is a problem. Like, when you continue to maybe upgrade a game, but also you sort of, I don't want to say dumb down it or maybe change it too much, then your competitive aspect of the game sort of goes down. Or to quote Scott Steiner, drastic go down. So I don't know, why is Minecraft even there? Is there a competitive part?
Yes, there is. There's definitely competitive Minecraft. Yeah, if you have not seen those competitive build events and shit, those go crazy.
All right.
But yeah. He also did want to ignore this. He also did have Smash above Street Fighter, but below Tekken is what we're seeing. Obviously, this is nothing definitive or anything, but it was very interesting to see.
The amount of inputs you're putting into Smash, you're also psychotic. No.
You're constantly moving. It's very different. All but right. I thought this was really cool. This clip just came across my feed, and I was like, "Oh, I'm very curious as to where he's putting it." And he put it in, and I was like, "Respect. I'll take that." I don't want to say it's the most competitive, but it's not easy either. It is not easy. But yeah, so shout out to XQC for that one. Much love for that one. I appreciate you. I think he put Overwatch in like C as well. Just give you a heads up.
Yeah.
That's how he ended up putting it there. But what did you guys think? You guys agree with that list? Let us know. But in the meantime, that's going to do it for us here on this episode of Double Tap. We'll say appreciate y'all for hanging out with us for another week here. Of course, make sure to follow us at Double Tap FGC on all social media platforms. Once again, on our YouTube, subscribe over there. Come say what's up. Comment, like. We do, like I said, we put up and cut up the show and put the highlights in there as well as the full video podcast of itself. So if you're listening on your podcast platform of choice, awesome. But if you want to check out, you know, as you know, kind of our visuals here as we're going through the show as well, let's get to see our our pretty faces. I'm just going to Vogue right now. You guys can check it out once again on YouTube. That is at Double Tap FGC. We appreciate all you guys tuning in once again, listening to us for another episode this week. All love. You guys can follow us. Of course, follow me at CrashTagVS. You can follow my awesome host Static at Static Gorilla on all social media platforms. Homeboy's streaming. He hits his TNS streams. He's at the lab on Thursdays. Go shout outs to Vermillion Series out there. Vermillion underscore series on Twitch. That's where he usually goes live. He's usually playing Guilty or Marvel are like the flavors right now.
Yeah, whatever is happening. We have, there's a different game every week. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They usually mix it up for sure. But yeah, make sure to follow, of course, Mash Those Buttons at the Mash Network. Check out when the new show is up and live. We do go live on Mondays, but new episode on podcast will go out every Tuesday weekly, followed by a bunch of tweets and such throughout the week. So make sure to go follow Mash Those Buttons at the Mash Network once again. All love. And you guys can give us some feedback, of course, is greatly appreciated. Whatever podcast platform of choice it is, let us know what you like about the show. Let us know what you don't like about the show. YouTube as well, comments, everything like that. We had discussions, obviously, on several different topics that have gone on in the past, like Momochi spitting out how like players need to be banned and all that. There's some people that I've been talking over there. Come contribute to the conversation there. And you can also contribute via the Discord, mash.gg/Discord. Join us there. Come say what's up to our awesome community that we have over there. We post up articles. We get some, you know, some thoughts going, some, you know, some ideas going for some potential conversation we want to have here on the show. Go join us over there as well. All love to everyone that is there. Shout out to you guys. And you guys can share the show free of charge, of course, liking, retweeting when the show goes live, when we tweet out that new episode is up. It all helps a whole lot. Something small for y'all, but something huge that helps the show out. So appreciate you guys. Stay tuned after the show, of course, to hear about the other shows here on the MTB Network. We'll be live next week on Monday, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, of course. Come check us out there on twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons. If not, like I said, podcast every Tuesday. But until then, we'll see y'all next round. Later.
Hasta.